think so many times, or for many decades, people have, especially when it comes to church and church activities and just in vision, many times feel obligated to do stuff because people are watching. And this is definitely not the heart. I believe that leads to death, not physical death, but spiritual death many a times. And you'll see what I'm going to share in the sermon quickly, just the revelation in my life that I've seen that was so awesome. And that's why we need to trust to God. You don't look to me, I don't look to you firstly. We look and we all turn our eyes to God. We say, Father, good Father, what is on your heart? What are you busy with? And I believe that is important for this year and for this season. Now, the vision this year is God's building. In other words, He's busy preparing His bride. And this particular, somebody can pray against that fly in Jesus' name. If somebody feels anointed for that, if you're the puzzle piece that can pray for the fly, please pray for the fly. We can go to the next slide. This is very important. As you can see, I was never privileged enough to be a center or a fly-off or a scrum-off in rugby. Now, there's one thing of a fly-off that I really maybe am a bit jealous about, but a fly-off is the guy that stands behind the scrum. He receives the ball from the scrum-off, and he's usually the one that needs the bird's eye view. He needs to know where we are on the field. We're not going to talk cricket. We'll talk a bit of rugby analogy this morning. We stay away from cricket. But he's the guy that needs to know when he gets the ball, are we going to kick to get out of our territory to go score points? Or are we on defense or attack? And he's the guy that needs to know where we're on the field. All the girls are like, it's this warm and you brought rugby. You're seriously losing me. But I'll switch to something else just now. But let me just finish that thought. He's the guy that needs to know where we're at. How are we going to make the play? Now, luckily for me, there's a certain area in my life where I can be a fly half. And likewise, you can as well. It's important to know spiritually where I'm at. Last week I used Pietri as an example. God is constantly working. God is constantly building in our lives, if you let Him. God is constantly busy sanctifying our lives and building us up into His kingdom and His kingdom vision for our lives. It can either be firstly me. Now I comprise body, soul, and spirit. Now sometimes, and I've seen this week, and we're not going to share all the details, but there's a lot of work to be done. I'm doing a certain fast at the moment, and then usually the flesh just says that it is upset with what's going on. Well, I'm not going to share all the details. But anyway, God has got a lot of work to do with me sometimes. God is building in me. The Holy Spirit is also, this is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, a house of the Holy Spirit, and God does His work. But not only in my life does God do the work in my life, but He's constantly busy in my family, relationships with my wife. There's a fair bit of work now and again to do on both sides. God is busy. With my kids, God is busy. Old habits, old hurts, trying to eradicate that so that I can be a good father and a blessed father to my kids. So God is building within my family. Church and community, God is building. Obviously, we've got a relationship. Most of us have got relationship, and God is constantly building, and He's busy with stuff there. Church community obviously includes your work and also what you do. What is my place in the community? God, what are you building? And then lastly, God has called His church and called His people to where? To the nations. He wants to bring in the nations to enter His kingdom. So that's where God's heart is also. But if, like a fly half, you don't have a clue where God is at the moment, you're not going to know what to do. So it's important just to know, to say, God, in this season, where are you busy? In this day, where is your focus? So remember that picture. It's a very simple one, but not that we get all confused with, oh, I need to do this and this and this, and then you get all tired. Just remember and say, Lord, where are you focusing and where are you building this morning? You might open up the Bible, read a bit of scripture, and something remains to you. In other words, God speaks to you. But it speaks about the soul realm. And He says, well, there's certain sins that you need to sort out. Please, let me help you. And you know, okay, cool. Let me not worry about the nations or pray about the nations today. God is dealing with it. Does that make sense, guys? It's always important just to go check that. Now, let's go on to the next slide. This week, from tomorrow to Wednesday, if you are led and if it's on your heart, you're welcome to fast with us. Now, what is a fast? It's just abstaining from something. It can be all food and drink. If you're hardcore, but ask the Lord firstly. Say, Lord, what am I anointed for? Why do we consecrate ourselves? Why do we do this to the flesh? Isn't Jesus enough? Yes, Jesus is more than enough. You're not trying to become more righteous. All you're saying is just saying pause to the things of the flesh. Just saying, man, I drink a lot of coffee and I'm constantly on Facebook and I like to eat a slab of chocolate every day. Let's just give that up for 3 days to say, flesh, can you blick? Take a back seat so that my spirit can be encouraged, refreshed to hear from God. All right, so it's not a work of righteousness, trying to become righteous, because we can't add to what Christ has done. But there is a biblical foundation for fasting and just consecrating yourself and a bit of time, saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. I've got plans for myself. I've got plans for my wife. I've got plans for my family. I've got plans for my business, community, and church. I've got plans for the nations. But are these actually your plans? And in a time of fasting, we just say, Lord, speak to me. Seek first. So we're going to do that. If you are led, please partake and just put something aside. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and say, Lord, please speak to me in this time. I know God is not confined to speak to you in 3 days. God can speak to you whenever he likes. But corporately we get together and say, yes, Lord, please come and speak to us. And then next week, we're going to consecrate. Whatever God has laid on your heart, we come, we take communion, we say, Lord, I'm a housewife. Lord, I'm an accountant. Lord, I'm a doctor. Lord, this is what you've given me. Lord, I'm a magician, or not a magician, a musician. Musician. Praise the Here for a bikkie Afrikaans. I wish I could say there was a planned joke. Thank you, Edna. Thank you for that. Whatever it is, bring it to the Lord. And we consecrate it next week, because if we bring our natural abilities and gifts to God and place them in his hands, only then, I believe, it'll have eternal value. But you need to decide. There's a tug of war at the moment. You need to decide 1 foot here, 1 foot in the kingdom. You need to decide. The word in the gospel is not difficult. It's pretty basic, but it's pretty hardcore. I'm not going to waste your time in that. If you want to keep your life, you're going to lose it. If you lose your life for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of Christ Jesus, you're going to keep your life. Klinks as kenbare teenstrydigheid. It sounds like a bit of a contrast. But that's the way God gave it. Stepping out of the boat is not 1 foot, it's both feet before you stand. And God calls us into that place. Just quickly on vision, next slide, please. Let's quickly stop there in our fly-off position. We stop church and community. And now, there might be a need in church. And I come and I say, hey, Ralph, I actually did it a week ago. But luckily he was anointed and said yes. But I can run to him and ask him to do something in church because stuff needs to get done. Ministry needs to happen. And it can so be out of the flesh, in other words, not from God. And he can, in the fear of man, just say, okay, Retief, and help me out. But at the end of the day, it's just going to take him further from God, because it's going to be something that he does, a performance, a work that he does for me more than it is for God. It's going to be a false yoke, because it's not something that God has called him to do, but that I have placed upon him. Yet in another place, Ralph might walk by in ministry, see something, see a need in church, and all of a sudden he feels a jolt, not literally, but he just feels the Holy Spirit just empowers him and say, man, I really would love to be part of that. I would really love to help out. And that is God empowering and speaking to him. And he can come to me and say, hey, Retief, I see you've got a great need in this area of church. Can I perhaps just be part of that? Now, that's an ideal setting, but that is about, I believe, a church should be led by the Holy Spirit, not to be driven to do stuff. But you're a gift. Where should that gift slot in? And you need to hear that from the Lord. Lord, firstly, do you want me planted in this church? Or am I actually sitting here, but there's unfinished business in another family? It's very tough for me to say, but I need to say that. You might be sitting here saying, well, I want to fit in here. I want to be the puzzle piece here. And God says, well, it's not the season for you. You've got unfinished business somewhere else. Which would be really detrimental for my heart. But that's God's kingdom. It's his church. It's not mine. So it's very important to ask God, where do you want me to fit in church and in community? Remember, God is the builder. Jesus said to Peter, just on vision, is that on this rock, I will build my church. Retief is not building this church. I'm feeding God's people as much as I can go get food from the Lord. I'm leading, I'm helping, I'm praying. But Christ is building. So we hear from the master builder, we hear from his son, Jesus Christ. And this lastly on vision for this church is 5.5 years back when this church was planted, the first sermon was around this following scripture in Zechariah. You can just go to that if you don't mind. It's 2 slides further. Thank you. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that thing has just been ringing in my spirit the whole time. This church is God's church. And it will be built. We will grow. We will be sanctified. We will be built up by God. And it will be not by power. In other words, man-made stuff. Not by power. Not by might. In other words, things that humans think up. But it will be by God's Spirit. God Himself needs to build all of us as individuals and this particular church. And that just excites me because I know that He is the Father. Now, what is our church all about? There's a couple of ministry areas. Obviously, we're a smaller church, so we don't have every ministry area yet. You can go to the next one. We have Sunday services. Emmy there at the back. Emmy's got an awesome testimony. He's been helping us out for 5.5 years. You've heard it before, doing our sound and our setup and running our setup and heading up our setup each and every Sunday. Chan is helping him, and he's been helping him for a couple of years, and they're a massive blessing. But they sometimes need help. Now, I can go ask Edna, hey, Edna, Liffy, you're going to upstand, can help for Emmy, go and do that. But if that is not God calling her, it's just going to bug her down and it's just going to frustrate her. But if God is saying, hey, man, I would love you just to go help out Emmy, please chat to me. Sunday services comprise of set up, set down, a lot of stuff, but that is very important. We've got a massive need. Emmy needs some help. He's been doing it for 5.5 years, but God's been anointing him. And it's a tough job. Hey, guys, Emmy needed to count the cost. Because sometimes it's wintry and sometimes nobody pitches or not everybody pitches to help. And then Emmy still does the work. I've seen the fragrance of Christ in Emmy's life, and I know I've said this before, but it smacks me in our Western culture each and every time I think about it. But he just comes faithfully. Poof. He's here. And if he doesn't pitch up, none of this can happen. I have no idea where what should go. So, Emmy, I just want to honor you once again and thank you for God's favor on your life. Chan, along with him, and everybody that helps, but specifically you heading it up. It's just amazing, and it speaks a massive testimony to my heart. And it convicts me, and you know what? You challenge me. You challenge me of my own selfish ways. And I love that. So thank you very much for that. It's really a godly motive. Second to that, for me, it's a passion here to my heart. Church comprised of a ministry of intercession. Our heart as shofar is really much prophetic. In other words, what is God saying? Petri said the other day, and I've not noted it before. He said, what did God say? And that's, in other words, what did God say? Whenever somebody comes to me with a problem, with a thing, I'll always ask, what did God say? And it might not sound that weird to you, but for some people, some Christians, that is quite weird. What did God say? If you come to problems financially or relationally or work-wise, my question will always be, what did God say? And you know where that spreads from? It spreads from a place of intimacy with the Lord and praying. Now, praying might sound for you really odd, and you do it before you eat, maybe. And it's a very traditional thing. But you know what? Prayer can be one of the most joyful, fun things that you've ever done in your life. Once God starts to speak back. Now, intercession is where that happens. And you know what? What we're doing here is we're worshiping the Lord. We're having church, but we're also in a battle. And intercession is where that battle is many times won and lost. So please, if it's on your heart, come and say, I want to intercede. I want to be part of the team. But what we would need from you, more than perfect prayers, more than the time you personally spend with the Lord, is also a commitment to say, if I'm in, I'm in. Because in an intercession team, it's not about a number of people. You can have 2 people and there's unity and commitment, and you're going to shift mountains. You're going to bring forth the nations. you can bring forth revival if God graces you for that. Or you can have 20 people or 30 people and it looks cool, but there's no unity. There's no unity in the Spirit. So this is something that I'm very, very clear about, is that you need to know from the Lord that this is what you want to do, and then you're in for the long haul. I know it sounds a bit woof, teacher-like, but that's not the heart. But it's like having a big ship without an engine. You can have a massive cruise liner, and it's beautiful, but if it doesn't have an engine, if it doesn't have an intercession team, guys actually praying, it's not going anywhere. Church is also small group. Small group is where Edna says where church happens. That's where many times you get challenged, but also where you get blessed on Wednesday evenings. We currently in need of a couple of small group leaders. I believe there's an increase coming in our numbers, and we need to trust God for some small group leaders. So if you want to be a small group leader, come and chat to me. And we pray about it, and we trust the Lord for that. Bible schools is that one. Edna's already spoken about it. Please let us know if you want to get involved. Obviously, one day we'd love to have a campus where all three Bible schools are run with live teaching and not DVD. That's ideal, but we're not there yet, but we're building to that. Bible school, in fact, as I said earlier, is the way in which I got into Shofar. I did the Bible school 1, and then I really enjoyed it a lot. God just spoke to me, and we joined the church. I was really blessed, and I did the others. So, yeah. Worship team. Now, Petri's not here. A lot of what the heart of church is, I believe, is caught up in intercession and in worship. And we need extra worshipers as well. So if you've got it on your heart, you need not be perfect. You need not play your instrument perfectly. But if God lays it on your heart and he says, that's you, come and chat to us. Come and chat to Pietri. And we can take it from there. Because worship is something, as you've seen this morning, that needs to be authentic. You can't be a worshiper if you don't spend time with God. If you don't have worship in your home, if you don't have worship in your heart and in your morning quiet times with the Lord, you need not come and worship here. It's a lifestyle more than it is a ministry function that we need. We need somebody that is a worshiper in essence, in being. Children's ministry this year is very important. We believe it's a way in which we can reach this area, get people to come in. They're really hungry. People might not be hungry for God, but somehow they usually want their kids at least to go to Sunday school. They want the kids to go to a Christian school. They don't want to hear much from God or Jesus, but somehow other way they want their kids to be influenced and be around Christians. So it's a place where we need help. We need at least 3 facilitators. Edna has spoken about it. If God speaks to you, please come, guys. God will anoint you for that. And I believe it's a place, many a times in ministry, I've seen where people got hurt in life. It's not when they were 14, 15, or 16. It's many a times when they were at a very young age. So here's a very, very sensitive, yet very profound time in little people's lives that we can influence and bless and speak life and security and truth into. So let's not drop the ball. It's not God's responsibility to do everything. He's called us to do that. So please, let's go. We send about our church group of 35 churches in South Africa at least, and then in Malawi and Europe and in Namibia, send out about 60 to 80 ministry teams each and every year. I've had the privilege to go on a couple of missions. I don't know how many of you guys have gone on mission. A couple of you guys, Tian went on a mission last year. Again, here, what is God? Is there some place that God has been laying on your heart? It need not always be far. It need not be Europe. It need not be deep, dark Africa. It can be Dunoon. It can be Sunningdale. It can be around the corner. It can be Tableview, Milnerton. What is God laying on your heart? He does not speak to me about everything. Church is not a pastor. Church is each and every one of you guys as gifts. What is God laying on your heart for mission? Encounters, not going to talk about that. That's just a discipleship tool where we just share the basics of church and Christian lifestyle. You can go on to the next slide. We can finish up. Foundations, same part of our discipleship tool. You'll hear a bit of that later on in the year, but there's 3 other slides there that I've placed in there. It's parenting course, marriage mentorship, marriage preparation. We did marriage enrichment end of last year. Who of you guys did the marriage enrichment? A couple of you. Oh, and then a couple of the Century City Church as well. And that was really blessed. What that all that ministry areas comprise for me is family. We live in an area, but we live in a world where families get attacked. Authoritative figures like dads and moms get attacked daily. Their positions and the godly way in which God has called that institution of family into being is being attacked in the media. But it's a supernatural onslaught on family life. Church is getting attacked. Family life is getting attacked. And it's something that's very near and dear to my heart. Edna and myself come out of broken homes. Both cases, we were young. I was in grade 2, Sabia, and she was grade 1. We both, obviously separately, our parents got divorced. And it was, quite frankly, and I'm not going to go into the detail, but for more or less the same type of reason. So when we met up, we just had this massive hunger to say, Lord, what is your blueprint for marriage and family life? We're not getting it perfect either. I'm not saying that. But I believe there's a battle. And for those of you that's got a hunger and just a stirring in your heart to see the way that God intended it to be, to return to our fold, to return to our homes, get involved. How do you get involved? You start praying. Say, Lord, show me out of your word. And then, Lord, how are you going to use me? We're going to do some training as well, but there's a massive need out there, guys. This is one of the most heard areas concerning family and family life that I've seen. And there's a massive job out there for Christ. So we can just put up our hands and say, Lord, if you want to, use me. So that's something that's close to our hearts. Lastly, youth. We don't have a massive youth yet, but I believe we need to put out our faith for that. God is speaking to you. One of two of you have spoken to me about youth. Start praying about youth. Many times, you know what, how I got in ministry? I was working as a commercial lawyer. Went without a job for a while, and this is not the way everybody needs to do it or should do it. And then I was a church secretary for a couple of months. Now, there's nothing wrong with a church secretary. What was wrong is that I never thought I was going to be a church secretary. I studied law, became a commercial lawyer, and I thought I would be in a different place when I'm 31, not a church secretary. So it was a bit of a humbling season in my life, but I loved it. Not the admin side, that is not my strongest point, but the ministry side. Spending time with the Lord. Many a times God sends you into a place that would like to offend your flesh. Bring it back to ministry. Bring it back to youth. Bring it to whatever God has laid on your heart. Sometimes God gives you, Lord, I want to work with millions for the kingdom. I want to invest millions. I want to sow millions into the kingdom, Lord. I want to see it happen. And God comes and usually just tugs in your heart, hey, how about you sow that 10 rand? I'm not asking for money for the church. Let's take a car guard or somebody out there. Please, this is not an ad for the church. But God will start maybe a bit small. Like with youth, if you're really called for youth, you want to be a youth pastor, want to minister to youth, God might just send your neighbor's son. And he irritates the living daylights out of you. But that might be just the place where God wants to start with you. And that's the same for various areas. God just sometimes tests our heart. What's the three mandates? The vision for church. Sometimes we look for this weird and wacky, nice vision that you can put on Facebook or wear a t-shirt about. But you know what? The word is quite clear. Jesus came to do what? Seek and save the lost. One of our mandates, one of our visions is still the same in Scripture. Seek and save the lost. Can we do it on our own? No, we need to work with the Lord. Second to that, discipleship. Disciple making, Matthew 28. It's still the same. It's a vision of this church. We've been called to do what? Make disciples. Call to the nations and make disciples. Teaching them what? Just the stuff that Jesus has taught you. It's not changed. The vision is still the same. Sometimes we want other stuff that's a bit more funky and hip and happening. The word's still the same. God wants the lost to be saved. We're pilgrims. This is just the time we are here on earth. It's not eternity. And then the third thing is, He gave us the fivefold ministry to equip the saints. We're all saints. He gave us each other to equip us for the work of the ministry. Ephesians, double check that. Ephesians 4:11. He's given us all these guys so that we can learn. Not that we can come, as we said this morning, to be a spectator in a church, to go on with life, as Fred said on the video clip. Not to come and be a spectator, but to be somebody that gets equipped for the work of the ministry. Petri is a great example for me, is just how he uses his lunch times just to go chat to guys that in a park where he has his lunch. Just shares the gospel, shares the word, pray for something. Might see healing, might not, but at least he's loving the people and trusting God. And so you're not calling to do this massive function or this amazing thing or that amazing thing all the time. Sometimes it's just to be salt and light out there. What is church for? Just the vision of Christ. Seek and save the lost. Make disciples. And to come here and to be equipped. Now, obviously, if you're spiritually and emotionally, if your leg has been torn off of the hurts of this world, we're not going to say, hey, run. When last have you led somebody to the Lord? That's not the heart of Christ. We're going to say, take a season, take 6 seasons, be healed up, be patched up, be restored. But there comes a time where God says, okay, you can run again. And then you need to decide. I'll never be able to decide for you if you want to run and if you want to partake with those 3 things that's been in the Word all these decades. What is God laying on your heart this year? That's just a question I'm going to leave with you. I believe as pastor, I will never have the responsibility, thank you very much, to go think up stuff for other people to do in the kingdom. Because I believe the kingdom is already planted in you. You need to discover it. You need to discover that seed that has been planted in you. And then you need to walk it out and trust God. Yes, I'm going to partner. Yes, Edna's going to partner. Yes, we're all going to partner with that so that it grows, so that you can walk in the calling, the massive calling that God's given you. But it's not my responsibility to go tell you what that is. We can partner and pray and fast and seek. But you need to be honest, God, what have you planted in my heart? And you know when the baby leaps. Who knows that seeding? It's just when you have this peace, or you just know, oh, there was a connection with heaven just now. And you need to react to that. I can't react on your behalf. I can't choose on your behalf. That's for you to do. So, what's God's plans for this year? I'm quickly going to pray, and then I'm going to share something out of Scripture. And we're going to finish up in a little while. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've placed a lot of gifts together. And sometimes church is amazing and it blesses us and we walk out here dumbfounded of your grace and just the amazing people that you placed in our lives. And sometimes we walk out here or we get into situations where church is also a bit of a challenge, where people are a bit of a challenge. Thank you, Lord, that we're not perfect. This is not heaven yet, but you've given church is a divine instrument, not only to reach the nations, not only to seek and save the lost, but also sometimes to build some awesome character in us, to build Christ in us. Thank you, Lord, as it's in Afrikaans, Easter sleep, Easter. Thank you that you've placed us in marriage, in relationship, and in church relationship many a times just to be pruned a bit and to be changed and to be conformed to the way in which you want us to grow and be, Lord. But thank you, God, that you've given us free will, to choice to abide to that or not. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will go through our church, through our community, and touch heart to just abide in what you have called each individual to be and to do, Lord. I come and I take every false religious yoke of every single person here today, every person in this church that's not even here today. Lord, I come supernaturally, or in the Spirit, ask you to supernaturally take every single false yoke and religious burden off them. Anything that was placed culturally on them, religiously on them, that was not Christ, that was not the biblical truth, and was not the Holy Spirit, we take it off. Because it's like dirty rags. We come and place it at your feet. And we say, Jesus, what is the things that I've been called for? What is the things that I've been anointed for? What is the yoke? Because there is a yoke. There's indeed a yoke. And there is a burden, but it is light and it is easy. because it will be the one of Christ. And I pray that into each and every person, each and every child, each and every person in our church, Lord, each and every one that you'll send this year as well. We pray that they will catch a hold through the Spirit of God, catch a hold of Jesus' yoke and burden that God has given to them. Because thank you, Father, that your word is clear that as we give our lives to the Lord, there is a cross to carry. There is indeed a cross. Help us to stand firm and to take up our cross and carry it. In Jesus' name, amen. Quickly going to share with you guys on plugged into his plan. And there's a certain scripture. There's a promise that we looked at last week. And there's something that I think is paramount for a Christian. And it's paramount for me in ministry. It's paramount for my life since I've become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to the next slide. Thanks, Ryan. I just want to ask you, what's your plans for this year? Who of you have made some plans for this year? Business plans, family plans, financial plans, fietsrijplannen. Who's made some plans this year? Everybody. Everybody's planned to a lesser or more bigger degree they've planned for this year. Now, I've spoken a lot out of my testimony before, but I also have plans, but they've started to change over the last 2 decades, luckily. Second question is this. Are these plans that you have actually God's plans? I don't want to ask who's offended by the question. Because that question can easily offend what? Our flesh. Or if I don't trust God or actually don't know him that well, haven't sensed his love, his security, and the way in which he provides, the way in which he speaks to me, and the way in which he protects and guides. And if you haven't tasted that, that question can easily offend your heart. The heart is not to offend. The heart is to ask the question so that we can think. And if at this space you think, well, I'm really offended by the question, is this plans that I have God's plans? Well, then ask God, God, what is this that's irritating me? What is it clippy in my geestelijke schoen? What is this thing that's bugging me? And trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Last week, and I believe this is part of our vision for this year. Last week, we shared in a promise in the Word in Matthew 6, where Jesus just said that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Sounds very nice to hear. It sounds very nice when you're sitting back. It's different when you're looking at a spreadsheet or an Excel spreadsheet in a budget. It's much different when you log on to your internet banking and you look at your bank balance. It's much different when the whole of your street is driving Toyota Hilux Buckies. It's just crazy. Chris, you just says Hilux Buckies langs you in your straat. And if these things influence you, and if the neighbors are doing this, and your brother, your nephew, your cousin is doing other things, and the world is doing a couple of other things, it's maybe not that easy to follow this principle, to follow this promise. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I must say, and I'm not going to repeat our whole testimony, it is important to state that you need to go and taste that promise for yourself. Wat is 'n lekker vrug? What is a really nice fruit? Stevie, wat is jou gunsteling vrug? Appel. Ek het actually 'n appel gedink. Now, wat is 'n tipe appel? We can get different types of apples. A pink lady. Oh, cute. A pink lady. Now, I can tell Demi all about a pink lady. Any other apples? Granny Smith. It might just... But I can tell her all about this apple that I've been having for a couple of years, a couple of months. I've tasted it, it's amazing. You just have more and more and more of them, and I can tell her all about it. But unless she decides to take a bite, it's just going to be mere words to her. She's just going to piggyback on my little bit of revelation of a Granny Smith or of a pink lady apple. But she needs to come to a place where she surrenders and decides to put her teeth into that apple and taste for herself. Remember we said last year, taste and know that the Lord is good, and likewise with His promises. I can have a testimony or two about it. You can have a testimony or two about it. But if Edna does not choose to believe, to seek first, not once, not twice, but in everything she does, if it does not become part of her DNA, of her thought process, of the way in which she lives, there's nothing, even as a husband, nothing that I can do for her. So the ball is in your court. I believe God is saying to us as a church, but individually, firstly, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. I'm not saying, hear my heart. We're speaking vision today. I'm not saying, seek first shofar. There's obviously a big part of my flesh that will love that. But if I need to be true to the word of God and true to my, to following Jesus Christ, I need to, the kingdom, you need to seek first. And that might include for you, if He says you need to be planted, that might definitely include seeking whatever He wants to do here. But it starts off by seeking the King. Not the pastor, not the book, not the CD. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, to be plugged into His plans, why plugged into God's plans? Things are going fine with me. I've heard it said, especially in our culture, the Afrikaans culture, people will often be at a braai and I'm like, hey Chris, hoe gaan dit? Goed, dankie, en jy? Gaan met Johan, ek het hem lang klas gesien. No, I haven't seen him in a while. Oh, cool. What's he been up to? Yeah. Oh, Johan, doing good for himself. Have anybody heard that said before? In other words, he really does well for himself. This is a hypothetical picture that I'm just painting. And another thing is, it's not a sin to do good. It's not a sin to be blessed. Yeah, my heart, firstly. But in that, hidden in that, he's doing good for himself, or he's really being doing good for himself. In that, many times in our culture, it's applauded for us. But if you think that we're only here for a short space of time, and if you think of eternity, what is really good for Joan and good for Joan or not good for Joan, is it necessarily financial or business gain? It might include that, as I said. But is that paramount where our chats should be about? Is that paramount the fruit that Joan as a Christian, is that what is paramount that he would want us to know and to hear all about? Or should it actually be, I set on fire for the year, and over and above that, God has blessed his business as well. It might be a place where, man, he's on fire and he's being persecuted, his business is really struggling as well and he's suffering. Is it an either or? Both can be God. Both can be God. I'm just saying where the primary focus is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why do we want to be plugged into God's plans? And this is why. I believe the answer is tucked in Psalm 127. Before I read it, is speaking of being blessed and not being blessed, having money and not having money, because I believe, as Paul said, I've had little and I've had much, but I've learned to be content in both. I don't believe as Christians it's a prosperity gospel thing of God wants to make everybody rich. Don't see that in the gospel. I don't see the way in which many of them ended their lives. I'm not also saying that we need to be all kerkmeise. It's also not the thing. But we just need to walk in God's will. That's what is important, I believe. One birthday, I think it was 31, we didn't have money for Edna to buy me a gift. She gave me a psalm for my birthday. She gave me one Psalm 127. And it was a rhema word, because I was under so much pressure in that stage of my life. Didn't have a job, was waiting for God to bring breakthrough into ministry and what He's promised me. And there was something on my plate, something that I could take, but I knew it wasn't God. But it looked so tempting just to take this job and just to run with it. And I had to say no, even though it did not make sense. And that morning she actually gave me this psalm. And I just knew that even if something looks good in the flesh, even if somebody should say, man, I doing good for himself, or that's really a good thing that he or she is doing, or even if something, an opportunity comes along your way, and it is not God, it is not really good. Let's read the psalm that changed my life in that season. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves. In that stage of my life, on that particular birthday, I could take that opportunity that came along my way, but it was not God's opportunity. Everything in me, everything in my bank account, everything, all the voices of the world that were shouting at me said, take the darn thing, it's going to keep you alive. And God said, no, I'm keeping you alive. And Edna gave me the scripture, and it just changed my attitude. It just changed my heart, and it just changed my faith. Because unless the Lord builds a house, the laborers labor over it in vain. What does that mean, guys? You can go to the next slide. What is a house? I believe, obviously, it's a metaphorical picture here that we can use in many instances. Firstly, this is a church, God's house. Unless God builds his house, I can do what I want. We can try all nice strategies and stuff, but unless God builds this place, we're going to do it in vain. What else is a house? This. The temple of the Holy Spirit. My body, your body, you can be that house, as a figuratively speaking. My family, a marriage. Unless the Lord builds a marriage, the laborers labor over it in vain. A business, a new enterprise. I believe this to be true for a Christian all around. Is there success without God building something? Yes, there is. Of course there is. You see a lot of success in the world, but it's not godly success. It's not eternal success. You see a lot of success, people that work hard, people that build mansions, people that build empires, business, estates, they do that. Is that true eternal success? This is maybe hard words, guys, but I believe it to be the truth. Unless God builds the house, the laborers labor over it in vain. Where will that estate, where will that venture, where will that massive empire go? Unless God was part of it, unless God had an eternal plan for that. Church and community. If you come here because you're offended somewhere else, hypothetically speaking, and God says finish up there first before you move on here, unless God builds a house, unless God builds relationships, we do it in vain. So a house can be a lot of things. And I believe that to be true for us individually this year. What is God building in your life this year? What is the house that God is building in your life this year? Is good always godly? Is a good idea always a God idea? Not at all. A good idea is not always a God idea. I can have this amazing idea, but it looks good, and to other people on the outside, it looks really good. But meanwhile, it's actually not a God idea. I've had many times in my life where I've had good ideas, but I've seen my behind, and I've tended to now ask the Lord about almost everything. So I believe that house can be, or that house or that city can be anything. Unless God builds with us, we labor over it in vain. In vain, here, if you look at the Hebrew, it just, the definition amongst others says uselessness. Unless the Lord builds this house, unless the Lord builds this house, unless the Lord builds this house, unless the Lord builds these houses, unless the Lord builds it, it's useless. Sounds a bit harsh? But I believe it to be true. It will have no everlasting effect, no true substance, and no true fulfillment. I'm going to repeat this. People have won the lotto. People, the most saddest people in this world are many a times the celebs, the A grade or whatever grade celebs that have millions in the bank account and they're not fulfilled. There's a worldly sense of success. But God was maybe not building that house. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, hey guys, let's remind ourselves, when we make plans, are we building with God? I think you get the picture. Likewise, watching over a city. Why do you watch over a city? You keep it safe. Where are you safe? You can move all the way to Perth to be safe. You can move all the way to Canada to be safe. You can move all the way to Kukanaap to be safe. But if God has called you to Gauteng, where's your place of safety? Your place of safety is in Gauteng. Why do we need to plug into God's plans, guys? Because it works. That's all. Just focus quickly. Why do we plug into God's plans? Because it works. And for His plans, He empowers us. I'm quickly going to finish up and just ask you, how do you plug into God's plans? How do I, in this week, if I take out time, and I'm just like, Lord, I've got all these plans for myself, for my house, for my business. Am I plugged in? Am I not? How do I plug into God's plans? Any ideas? Pray and ask. Relationship. The first one is just relationship. It's very easy. Let's read Hebrew 3. Now, every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's household as a testimony to what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household. And we are that household if we hold to the courage and the confidence of our hope. Guys, relationship. The second and third I'm just going to mention quickly. Second one, seek first. We've dealt with that. Through relationship, seek first, God, what is your plan? And then thirdly, how we connect with God's plans is we seek Him in His Word. Sometimes that's not the easy thing to do. It's easy to Google something and take something that's regurgitated by someone else, a puree as such, take somebody else's puree of revelation and try to just work that out in your life, or go sit down before the Lord, get into the Word and wait for the steak. Does that picture make sense? Because it's the steak that will last you. It's the steak that will help you. It's the revelation personally from God that will help you. And the Word is very clear. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, called us to be disciples, and said, you'll be empowered to be all workers in the ministry. Second thing that we need is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. If you're not baptized, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, all of this will just sound like absolute gibberish to you. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, I believe it's very difficult, if not impossible, to lock into God's plans. If you're confused about that, say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit so that I can know your plans. God, daily fill me with your Spirit so I can know your plans. Those who walk by the Spirit of God will be called what? God's sons. Sorry, I admit it's a slechte echo. Practicing to walk in the Spirit is important. And lastly, people. Now, I said firstly, relationship is important. Now, it's a bit of a pendulum. You need the balance. Sometimes people run off and I'm just going to establish myself. I'm just going to get to a lonely island where it's just me and God. It's a nice idea and it sounds great primarily. But God's put people in your life to help you and to be a blessing and to be that blessing to you. God's placed people in your life and in church life to what? To challenge you many a times. And then God has placed people in your life just as a divine tension, I believe, just to keep us humble and surrender us many a times. Because God will only give me part of the puzzle and give Demi and Stephen and Rolf pieces of the puzzle so that we can put that picture all together. God has placed people in your life to help you to plug into His plans. I'm going to pray for us. Just want to quickly read this last quote. The only way the corporate body of Christ will fulfill the mission Christ has given it is for individual Christians to have a vision for fulfilling that mission personally. Guys, you're a leader in your home, a leader at church, wherever you spend time with or follow in whatever way, shape or form, they can have some sort of awesome vision. But if you want to truly fulfill, and if we truly want to fulfill the vision that God's given to us, if we truly want to fulfill that vision, it needs to be caught in our hearts. And that nobody can do but the Lord. And we need to trust the Holy Spirit to come and do that. Can you just close your eyes and we can pray together? Lord, thank you that by your grace, you've taken me through some valleys, some heights and some lows and some difficulties to come to a place where I know that this is absolutely true. Thank you, Lord, that I can share this with brothers and sisters, but I also ask that you come and just stir on those people's hearts that need to be sure and make sure or actually discover or rediscover that you are a trusting good Father. To come to a place where this scripture is indeed true. And I pray this over our church, over our families, and over us as a church community. Unless the Lord builds a house, its laborers labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. Lord, we do not want to keep ourselves a waste, a short lifetime, but is in fact short in eternity. We don't want to waste it with vanity. Holy Spirit, come and touch our hearts and show us where things are merely in vain. And come and show us what you are building, what you are busy with. Lord, we thank you that this week we trust that your Holy Spirit will speak to us. If you just very simply want God to speak to you concerning the plans of your year, the plans of your life, and the plans that he has for you and in church community, just raise your hands. Just saying, God, yes, please. Please chat to me. Thank you, God, for these hands. I pray that you will speak to them very clearly. Thank you, Lord. Your word says that abide in me and I will abide in you. And if we knock, we seek, and we ask, you will answer. So thank you, Lord, for those that are hungry for an answer, those that are hungry for your plans and your blueprint, thank you that we will have it in this time. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'm just reminded as we end it off now that remember we're in a battle. There's another side, there's a flip side to the kingdom of God, and that's the kingdom of darkness. And it has, and we give it absolutely no credit at all, but it has an agenda. It has plans for our lives as well, constantly. If this doesn't work, it tries that. We're not going to be moved to God and God's plans by fear. But I believe in this time we need to be assured of the fact that there is a battle. So trust God really for that intimate moment where he can just come and speak into your heart so that we be not deceived by the plans of the enemy. Because this lifetime, as pilgrims on the earth, is really very short. And we need to use it really wise. Have an awesome week.